This week on Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network.
Think about the parents who are saying to their young kids who are 20, don't go move in with your boyfriend. You're supposed to be married first in the eyes of God. And then here that 19, 20, 21-year-old is watching their grandparent do the very thing. Mm-hmm.
All this month, our focus has been on parenting. And this week on Come Receive the Light, we move to the other end of the age spectrum.
God says love, not judge. We love grandma and grandpa, but we don't agree always with what they are doing. We can love them but not always agree with that behavior because that behavior does not fall in line with what Christ wants us to do.
Not an easy conversation and a topic that you don't often hear discussed, but we're going to tackle it today on this edition of Come Receive the Light from our studios in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We'll also report on a brand new children's book that has a unique twist on teaching responsibility to young readers. I'm Mike Trout. And our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Well, it is so nice joining you again here on Come Receive the Light. At least I hope it's again. I hope you're a return listener. We are a weekly broadcast from the Orthodox Christian Network, an international outreach. And we can be found on the web at myocn.net. This program has been on the air well over 10 years, every single week taking a look at our subjects through the lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. And when you go to that website, you will find a wealth of helpful information, including our three internet-only radio stations. That's myocn.net. Well, let's jump right into it. Our first guest is actually a return visitor. She's been with us in the past. She is an author. Her name is Callie Lee, and she's written a new book for children called A Necklace of Virtues.
Welcome back, Callie.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the inspiration behind this book, because I'm trying to understand the title, A Necklace of Virtues.
A Necklace of Virtues comes from the troparion for St. Audrey. Audrey of Ely was an English princess who lived in the 7th century, and she was raised in a royal family, went on, became a queen eventually, and then became a nun, and gave away all of her possessions, including the island of Ely, which is where she founded a monastery. A Necklace of Virtues describes Audrey because we know very little about her childhood. But one thing she said is that she loved necklaces as a child. And she was really wrapped up in the trappings of ornamentation. And as her life changed, she obviously gave away those things. And so the church remembers her as being covered with a necklace of virtues. All of the wonderful things she did became her crowning glory.
And when was this? Can you give us a historical...
Yeah, she was a princess in 640. She died in 679. There are several fantastic historical works if you're looking for more information about her. Marie de France, who is a medieval woman writer who wrote stories and poems for the court, actually wrote down a lot of stories about her life.
I see.
So it's called The Life of St. Audrey. And we know that she was married at a young age for state and chose, with her husband's agreement, to not consummate that marriage. When he died 3 years later, she was married again, and this time her husband was not such a fan of that agreement. And so she ran away, and her husband, the king, went to the bishop and said, make my wife come back. Hmm. And the bishop said, well, no, because she's chosen to serve God, and you knew that, getting into all of this. And so the king actually chased her with his men. And at one point, she was on one part of the beach, and he was on another part, and the tide came up, a place called Heavenfield, and separated her and remained, I believe, for 7 days that she was kept safe. And eventually the king said, okay, clearly this is not going to work out. He left and left her to go on and become a nun.
Let's look for a minute. I mean, you have children. We have children, my wife and I. I know that we encourage our children to share and also to be grateful for the things that they have, especially in with the current economy as it is and with the numbers of people that are currently out of work. So let's talk about your book specifically. What's different or new about this book that kids can learn from?
Sure. My daughter, who was four when I wrote this story, had just been introduced to the idea of poverty. She was seeing so many of these people that stand on the side of the road asking for money, asking for food. And one day she asked the question, why do we have so much when they have so little? And I think a lot of times we tell them to share with their friends or read a little story about being thankful for things, and that is fantastic. But that question that she asked me stopped me cold. Like, well, why do we have so much? And what does God want us to do with the things that we've been given? And so the story, A Necklace of Virtues, that I wrote is historical fiction. It encourages children to think about what they have and what they can do with it, and not just drive on by when they see someone who is hungry, and not just allow this world to remain as it is, but really encourages them to make it a better place and to show Christ's love to others through giving.
Great. Well, it sounds very exciting. Where can our listeners go to buy this book?
They can pick it up on Amazon. It's in print and very affordable ebook editions for a Kindle, or if you have a PC or a phone or anything, you can read it there. And if they would be interested in carrying it in their parish libraries, we are always interested in talking with them. My blog is Callie, C-A-L-E-E, M, Lee, L-E-E, .com, and that's got all of the book's information, and they can contact me there for parish rate copies.
Tremendous. Thank you very much, Callie.
Thank you.
If you missed that blog site that Callie mentioned, it is Callie M. Lee, and it's CalleeMlee.com. And again, the book title is A Necklace of Virtues. Well, you're listening to Come Receive the Light for this week. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Our website is myocn.net. And one of the things we have available on the website is our blog called The Sounding. And that is updated every single day with fresh blogs, fresh stories, fresh things to read and interact with. It's a marvelous opportunity for Orthodox and non-Orthodox alike to get into it on a variety of subjects. That's myocn.net. It's quite a website. I know you will appreciate it and benefit from it. And share the fact that we're here with your friends. We would appreciate that. And now with our feature conversation for the week, here again is our host, Father Chris.
My guest today is the founder and director of the Orthodox Christian Counseling Institute, Dr. Ari Christofidis. One of his specialized areas is family counseling. And today he's going to talk with us about how to respect our parents, even when they do things we find morally objectionable, especially when we have to explain their decisions to our own children. Thanks for being here today, Ari.
Thank you, Father, for having me.
Let's talk a bit about the changing roles as we become adults and our parents no longer really act with a moral compass.
Well, I think, you know, we've heard probably out there in today's world, we're called sometimes the sandwich generation, where we are in our middle age and we have children, young children, and we have our older parents. And oftentimes, you know, that could lead to some difficult challenges, balancing our older parents' behaviors with the kind of teachings we want to give to our younger children. So it can make things complicated, for sure.
With the amount of divorces that are going on now, obviously it's 50% plus at this point. It's a situation where I know as a priest, when we're marrying people, they'll come in and they'll have stepchildren and stepmothers and stepdaughters and stepsisters, and it's really becoming very difficult. It was so much easier when I was younger. I don't know about you.
I find that a lot of parents, middle age, they want and need their older parents' support in raising young kids. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for that support. They're learning to be parents, new parents, or even going through their kids, the teenage years, and they're wanting that help. And instead, they are experiencing the added stress of their own parents' divorce, struggling to be able to manage themselves, make decisions that go against our Christian faith, let's say. And instead of getting the support, they're finding themselves caught in the middle of how do they love and honor their parents when they're really still looking to their parents for support, and they see their parents acting in a way that goes contrary to the teaching of the church.
So the parents are no longer that source of support, that foundation that they used to be.
An example.
Yeah, and an example.
And that example. And I think it's created a tremendous strain on the younger parents today. So they're trying to balance both generations, their children, their parents, and then how do they kind of be the captain of the ship now when there's this kind of internal hope that their parents can still be there to direct them and guide them, but in the moment they're finding themselves needing to rely on themselves.
So they're having to be the captain of their own ship, but the admiral is drunk, is what we're saying.
Good analogy, yes.
Yeah, the admiral is really out to lunch, and he's not able to deal with what's going on. He can give no support to the family. I mean, that I would think a family needs to have the foundation of the parents in order for the children to grow. Am I right or am I wrong? You're a professional here. I'm just a priest here.
No, absolutely. When I do family therapy, what I often see in the dynamics, and I'll have many members in my office, and we'll, what's wonderful for me, although embarrassing for the parents, is when the children make these amazing, simple comments about the dysfunction in the family. And, you know, typically the adults are trying to hide their shame, so to speak, but out of the mouths of babes, you hear truth, which is unfortunately the dysfunction. And so what works is order and structure and discipline and love and forgiveness. But what we're finding is chaos and lack of respect. Today's modern television shows are making parents out to look like imbeciles and making children to look like they're smarter than they really are and more wise than they really are. And so these kids are getting, unfortunately, the wrong teaching outside of the home, but then they're also getting the conflictual behavior from within their home when it comes to grandparents' behaviors. I mean, often, parents will say, you know, I'm so embarrassed because grandpa is a racist, and I'm trying to teach my kids that Jesus teaches us to love everybody. And how do I help, you know, my kids understand that this is what God wants us to do, is to love everyone, not judge them. And yet their grandpa says these racial things that I just cringe when it comes out of his mouth.
Right.
And so some of that balance is it can be, and actually it can be an opportunity, I think, for the parents to teach one of the fundamental doctrines of our church, which is not to judge. I love St. John Chrysostom and how he explains it. He says, and I quote, he says, one must hate not them, but their doctrine, not the man, but the wicked conduct, the corrupt mind. For the man is God's work, but the deceit is the devil's work. And St. John just puts it right there. We're supposed to love grandma and grandpa, even if maybe some bad things are being observed by their behavior. I think it's easier because of the closeness in the family relationship that then kids can say, I can still love grandma and grandpa, but you know, mom and dad are telling me some of their behaviors aren't correct. Let's say a swear word. So I think that can be a wonderful opportunity to say, you see how God says love, not judge. We love grandma and grandpa, but we don't agree always with what they are doing. We can love them but not always agree with that behavior, because that behavior does not fall in line with what Christ wants us to do.
Let me go back a minute, Ari, to something you said. We were talking about the movies and the television programs that depict the parents as imbeciles. There are some who would say that this is by grand design, that this is Satan's way of bringing down the family. There are others who will say, well, this is Hollywood's grand design to make a mockery about anything that has to deal with the Judeo-Christian tradition. From your perspective, what do you see? What's the reasoning behind this? Why don't we see more? I mean, is it just about Hollywood? Is it just about sales? Is it about marketing? What's going on here?
Well, one of my former clients said the devil is the greatest marketer out there, and I think he made a very good point there. So, yes, I do see it as stripping away good Christian values and how a family can be rather than what a family should be according to Hollywood standards or the devil's standards. Because I'm seeing in my practice a very frightful thing. I would call it a boldness by teenagers to act out directly against their parents because of what they want. I mean, I've had teenagers call 911 against their parents.
Wow.
for things that have nothing to do with an emergency, but only because they're having a temper tantrum because their parents are trying to put limits on their inappropriate behavior. So the teenager doesn't get what they want. They have a temper tantrum, and they call 911. The police come to their houses. And the parents then, many, many parents over the last decade have said, I feel like I'm handcuffed. My hands, I can't discipline my child because if I do, they're going to tell and make up these exaggerated stories to the teacher that, you know, I abused them. If it was just a simple spanking on the butt versus, you know, I'm being abused here and the police come or the Department of Child and Family Services comes in. The kids are not grasping mm-hmm. the depths of their behavior and what's happening here. So then getting back to the grandparents, you know, then if the parents don't have the kind of support and backing they need from their own older parents and their kids are acting out this way, you can understand more deeply the demise and the stress and the anxiety and the depression that these parents are experiencing.
This is our last program this month on parenting, and we're talking about parents. Even though we become adults, our parents are still our parents.
Right.
So let's talk about when parents divorce due to infidelity. Let's talk about when a parent remarries someone who we don't approve of because of a big age difference. I mean, let's take those one at a time.
Okay. So are you talking about now when the older generation
yes.
has that experience?
Yes,
so,
correct.
I think that, first of all, it's a great tragedy to the children because you grow up never wanting to see your parents separated, except for extreme circumstances where, you know, people have said it was better that they divorced because of the physical abuse or sexual abuse or whatever was happening that was so dangerous in the home. Other than that, which are the extremes, nobody wants to see their parents separate. And so there's a trauma that is initiated by that. And unfortunately, people today they don't know how to heal. They don't know how to heal from that trauma. Instead, everyone is looking for a quick fix. So the person, for example, let's say their parent who's been divorced is now alone and they're afraid because as we age, and we think of our mortality, most people don't want to be alone. So they find a quick boyfriend or girlfriend and grab onto them because they don't want to be alone in life. And then they force this relationship onto their kids and their grandchildren.
Which they don't want any part of.
Right, which they don't want any part of because what is not being addressed is the mourning period, mourning the loss of this relationship that was sacred and important and holy to the whole family. Instead, it's being kind of shoved into the kids' faces like, hey, you know what? You have your marriage, you have your spouses, you have your kids, I'm alone, you need to accept this. And the adults are like, how do I handle this? I mean, I respect that my mother doesn't want to be alone or my father doesn't want to be alone, but they're kind of pushing this in my face. And first of all, you know, the first thing I think we all have to do is we have to pray. You know, Lord, help me get through this very difficult process of experiencing the splitting up of my parents' relationship. Mm-hmm. And after that, I think it has to be done with in a very mature frame of mind and saying to the parent, can we please talk about this? Can we please talk about what's happened here? Can we have it's for best of their abilities, closure? Instead, none of that gets discussed, and it's more of sweep it under the rug, and now you have to accept me for the way I am and what I need in my life right now. So I often tell the adults' children to try to have a conversation because they're afraid to speak to their mother or father about their feelings. Mm-hmm. They're afraid to express their concerns. They're afraid to say, you know, where is God in this decision, to put that out there, because they don't realize they could give some good advice to their own parents here, but they're afraid. They're afraid to hurt feelings. So instead of doing what's right according to the church teachings and God's divine plan, everyone acts on, well, not everybody, but often they act on fear. And so I challenge them, and I say, so you're telling me your decisions right now are based on your fear rather than what's right. And so it begins with respect, love, not being judgmental, and trying to at least have a mature conversation with why you are struggling with your parents' decision to have a new boyfriend or have a live-in girlfriend, not being married, not acting in the right way, and then your anger towards how that is being portrayed to your own children now. Because think about the parents who are saying to their young kids who are 20, don't go move in with your boyfriend. You're supposed to be married first in the eyes of God. And then hear that 19, 20, 21-year-old is watching their grandparent do the very thing.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing we've come so far. It really is that divorce is something that is so accepted. People will say, no, it's actually a freeing situation because marriages that weren't working are now freed. But I would have to question that because I've seen the Hiroshima effect of those generations of divorced families. But let's move on. I mean, we're also dealing not only with the big age difference, we're dealing, like you said, with the boyfriends and the girlfriends who want to move in. How about when they want to come to the family event and everybody sits there and they can't talk to each other? They say, well, what do I say? Who do I talk to? I can't talk to her. You talk to her. You know, blah, blah, all that stuff. You know, craziness goes on. Craziness.
Oh, yeah, right. And I think one of the biggest problems is, and I see it, it's profound in all family dynamics, is a lack of boundaries. A lack of boundaries.
Yep.
And people don't know really what a boundary is, and most of them end up having their boundaries trampled over because they don't know how to put it up in a very respectful way. And so I talk about you need to decide with your spouse what your needs are and try to then pass that on and create a respectful boundary with your parent there. For example, the grandson's graduating from high school. The divorce just happened a year ago. And now you want to invite grandma and grandpa. But what you're asking of them is to say, for us, we would like for both of you to attend the graduation ceremony, but without your boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
And they say, well, how dare you? You're not showing respect for me. This is my life. This is my choice.
So what do we do with that one? How do you solve that one?
Well, I think it's a very difficult one, but I think that's where the young adult parents have to say to these parents, we're asking for you to respect our wishes, and that's where the boundaries come in. And if you don't set boundaries, then what happens is, even at that older age, grandma and grandpa feel then they can just kind of expose their lifestyle at their free will, no matter what damage it may do to the, you know, spiritual upbringing of their grandchildren. And it's very hard, but in some adult children won't go past, you know, hurting their parents' feelings. But they have to get past the idea of hurting feelings and doing what's right. What is right?
I don't know if we know that anymore, Mary.
Right. What
I don't
is
know
right?
If, you know, and what are we using as a frame of reference for right? We're clearly not using Scripture. We're not using the patristic fathers that teaching us that a husband and a wife stay together, they sacrifice, they do what they have to do. Okay, they do break up, as you said, for extremely difficult circumstances at times, but then it's we're not thinking anymore about others. We're thinking only about ourselves. We become a very selfish culture.
Very true, Father, very true. And that's where a husband and wife can learn how to step up and to defend the right, the teachings of the church, and to then teach their own younger children how to do that. Because, you know, Saint Theophan the Recluse, he talks about, you know, the upbringing in the home is the root and foundation of everything that follows, end quote. And so he's really saying, what you're doing right now, how you're handling your parents in front of your children, is setting the tone, it's planting the seeds for how they will handle life.
Mm-hmm. We can't live in a bubble, we know that. But we can certainly arm ourselves with the armor of righteousness and the armor of goodness and the armor of faith. Thank you so much, Harry.
Thank you, Father. Your blessings. Thank you for having me.
And thank you in the listening audience for being with us for another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. We're here each week at this same time. Do let your friends know that fact. And we can be found on the web at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And you can listen to not only this broadcast, but a whole archive of past Come Receive the Light programs when you go to that website, myocn.net. Thanks, as always, to our executive producer, Father Spiro Bobotis, and our programming director and anchor. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.